front of the win column for the Fighting Bills.
Base hit down the left field line. Greg scores.
Inside. Rollins has won it. They stream out of the dugout. Yeah. Rollins ball near third. This game is over.
Second deck walk-off home run. Grand slam, Bryce Harper.
That's what I call hitting season.
Now batting for the Phillies, John Stolness.
Hey there, podcast pals, and welcome back to another edition of Hittin' Season. This is episode 508. I'm John Stolness from The Good Fight. You can follow me on Twitter, at John Stolness. Coming up, we got 1 week left to go here in the Phil season. And hey, listen, for all of the warts of this baseball team, for all the ups and downs, for all the frustration, for all the exhaustion, they have a shot, a legitimate shot, to win the National League East here this week if they play well. And they have given themselves that opportunity, or I guess more to the point, the Atlanta Braves have kind of allowed them to have that opportunity by failing to pull away in this division. But give the Phillies some credit. They played decent baseball this last week, and they have a chance. They do control their own destiny still. So we're going to talk about the upcoming week. We'll go over the Pirates series just a little bit. And we'll also take a look at a couple of the other races around Major League Baseball that are still tight with just 1 week left to go in the season. Joining me is the great Liz Rocher from Yahoo Sports and continued success. Follow her on Twitter, at Liz Rocher. Liz, how are you?
Oh, I'm peachy keen.
Yeah.
I'm not watching football at all.
No, Liz and I have not been watching the Eagles get their pants taken down by the Dallas Cowboys and smacked with a wet noodle. We have not been watching that at all. It has not been something that is on our mind. No, not at all. No.
Why? Why?
We're going to distract you all from this Eagles team because, you know, listen, and Justin Clue will not be with us again tonight. He is still enjoying some wedded bliss, so he will hopefully be back with us next week, hopefully to preview a Phillies playoff game maybe, but more likely to kind of give a retrospective on the 2021 season. But look, Liz, here we are. You know, we've been through a lot this year with this team, right? I mean, I think we could say that it's been a long season with this group.
Absolutely.
There's been a lot of downs. There's been a few ups. They've been dramatic. Let's say that. I wrote a piece for The Good Fight last week about that. The Phillies have had a lot of dramatic wins. They've had a lot of big comebacks. They've had a lot of walk-offs. They've also lost a bunch of games in really dramatic fashion. I think what has really hurt this team and has kind of forced them into a position here over the last week where they pretty much need to win their last six games is they've struggled against some of the teams on their schedule that they were supposed to beat up. And this past weekend against the Pirates, they won 3 out of 4 against Pittsburgh, which got them a 5-game winning streak. But that winning streak was snapped with a 6-0 loss on Sunday. That was... Yeah, it was woof, and they had an opportunity to sweep that 4-game series, and they put themselves in the position that they really needed to do that based on how they played against some opponents over the last couple of months or so. Normally, you win 3 out of 4. That's a good series, and you know the Phillies, again, winning 5 in a row here in the month of September. September has always been a rough month for them. They're currently 13-11 as they head into the final week of the season in September, so they have improved a little bit here. They're not going to finish with a losing record. They almost, unless they lose all 6 games this week, they almost certainly will finish with a winning record. And you and I have already talked about the fact that that's not a real goal. but it was a crusher of a loss on Sunday because the Braves swept the Padres. It looked like the Padres had a chance to win that game on Sunday. They had a chance to win the game on Saturday. Would have kept it to within a game and a half or maybe even a half a game if the Padres had managed to help out just a little bit. But unfortunately, the Phillies begin this week 2.5 games behind the Atlanta Braves with a big 3-game series beginning on Tuesday in Atlanta. First, let's talk about the Pirates series just a little bit, Liz. How much of a crusher was that loss on Sunday?
I mean, it was bad. It was really disappointing. And like, it feels a little bit like we're being too hard on them because they did win 3 out of 4, but they needed to win that fourth game, and they should have won that fourth game. It should not have happened that way. You know, the offense just went on vacation.
Yeah, and that's been the nature. They've been so streaky. They're up and down, and against some good pitchers and some bad pitchers. What did you make of them actually using Hans Kraus to start the game on Sunday?
I mean, at this point, why not?
Right, exactly.
Why not?
Exactly.
Yeah, there's no reason why they shouldn't use him. It is It's this type of season. Like, they just need bodies. They need bodies, which is exactly what a playoff team needs. They just need warm bodies.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was a bullpen game on Sunday, and my contention ever since late August, I called for them to bring up Hans Krause. Not because I think necessarily Hans Krause is some great pitcher who's going to Marty Bystrom them to the division title, but when you've got bullpen games every fifth day and you've got the bullpen the Phillies do, having those bullpen games, and especially I think what really pushed the Phillies forward here was they knew they had a bunch of relievers who were not going to be available. You've got Archie Bradley with the oblique injury, and Ian Kennedy wasn't available, and you know they're down a bunch of different guys, and if the bullpen's not great to begin with, I saw no reason not to give Hans Krause two or three starts down the stretch here. And I wouldn't be at all surprised if he gets another one. He didn't look great on Sunday. I think he had a lot of nerves going. He was very wild, but only gave up one run through three innings. I mean, I don't think that was necessarily surprising here, but the Phillies really, I think, you know, with this series in Pittsburgh, you're right. It does feel like we're being too hard on them. They did win three out of four. They did win five in a row until Sunday, but they put themselves in a bad position with three particular series, right? It was the Arizona series back on August 17th through the 19th when they lost two out of three. And again, this is an Arizona Diamondbacks team that's lost well over 100 games. They lost two out of three in Miami back on September 3rd through the 5th. And then they lost three out of four at home to the Rockies, a team, again, that was 32 games under 500 on the road from September 9th to September 12th. So when you miss those opportunities, when you throw those opportunities away, you give yourself absolutely no margin for error, and you leave yourself in a position where you need the Padres and another team to help you out. And they didn't get enough help from San Diego to kind of close the gap. So, you know, I thought the offense played really well in the Pittsburgh series for most of that series. I did want to touch on Ranger Suarez, who threw a Greg Maddux in the game on Saturday in that 3-0 game. You know, I don't think we should expect this from Ranger Suarez every season moving forward, but he has been the Aaron Nola of this staff. And, you know, I think I asked this question a couple of weeks ago and we all said Aaron Nola, but right now, let's just say the Phillies make it into the playoffs. For my money, Ranger Suarez is starting game two.
Oh, completely. Completely. And I'm happy to admit I was completely wrong about how Ranger Suarez would do being moved from the bullpen to the rotation. I didn't think it was going to go well, but Ranger Suarez has been up to it. I'm not ready to credit the Phillies for it. I'm going to credit Ranger Suarez's toughness and his willingness to adapt, because he's been just a little miracle.
He has been. And you know, I think what's cool is we've seen the velocity uptick for him a little bit. I still don't think he is an ace type level starter, but he is certainly going to be a factor in the rotation next year. And for me, he's been the second best starter on this team. Really a remarkable season when you look at it. I mean, an ERA well under two, and he's been with this team the whole season. I know he just has 11 starts on the year, but he had a fantastic ERA out of the bullpen, and it has been a terrific transition for him so far. So it really has been an amazing season for him, and you know, the Phillies really needed it with Aaron Nola struggling the way he has so far this year. So you know, that kind of puts a little bow on the Pirates series. Again, they won three out of four, but they really needed to win all four. I mean, I don't know, Liz, I would feel a whole lot better. I mean, it's amazing what the difference one game makes, but the vibe would be so much different if this team was 1.5 games back going into this week than 2.5 games back. I mean, I know, again, it's just one game, but when you've only got six games left, it's just such a huge difference.
Yeah, like a game and a half feels like it's not an insurmountable,
right?
You know, number. Like, it's just 1.5 games. That's, you know, a good night. It's two good days from you, two bad days from the Braves. But 2.5, you have to, like, even more has to go right and or wrong for you and your opponents in order for it to work in such a short amount of time.
Yeah, no, for sure.
We're running out of time here.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's the clock is absolutely ticking. So let's take a look at this final week of the season here. The Phillies come into this series against the Braves. It's the biggest, obviously, the biggest series the Phillies have played since 2011. Look, they face long odds this week, guys. They have a chance. They do control their own destiny still, but the odds are very long that they will pull this off. I keep coming back to the run differential between these two teams. They're only separated by 2.5 games, 3 in the loss column. But you look at the run differential. The Phillies have a -5 run differential. The Braves are at +121.
Wow.
Which is just an unbelievably huge chasm. The fact that there's only 2.5 games separating these teams. I don't know how the Phillies have stayed this close. There's some kind of voodoo magic. I mean, that's a good question. How have they stayed this close, Liz? With all the pitching injuries, with the inconsistent offense, how have they done this?
I mean, part of it is that, you know, the Braves can't seem to get themselves together consistently either.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's part of it. Like, we're looking at the Braves like, wow, they're so good. Like, how could we ever? And, like, Braves fans are, like, tearing their hair out. Like, why are you like this?
Yeah.
You know, the same as we are. You know, we think they have it so good. They don't think that we have it good. They don't think we're doing great at all. They're correct. But, you know, the illusion that the Braves and Braves fans are, you know, confident and ready is just definitely not there.
Yeah, no, I Braves fans, I mean, if they get into the playoffs, I don't think Braves fans are thinking this team's going to go on a deep run at this point, but they certainly have to feel good this week about their chances of clinching their fourth straight NL East title.
Yeah.
So kind of here's how it looks. You know, the Braves themselves can clinch the National League East by sweeping this series. So if they take all three games, they're champs, and they're going to celebrate on their home field with the Phillies watching. The Phillies, if they win all three games, move into first place by a half a game. And then, you know, they go into Miami, and they got to win those games in Miami. You know, I mean, the Phillies really have set themselves up that they need to win at least 5 out of these 6 games, and probably all 3 against the Braves. So some other possible scenarios: if the Braves win 2 out of 3 in this series, they'd lead the division by 3.5 games with potentially 4 to play. The Braves have 3 games against the Mets at the end of the season, but they also have a makeup game if necessary against Colorado. If the Phillies win 2 out of 3, they would trail by 1.5 games with 3 to play in Miami. So lots of different ways that this could go down. So if the Phillies are either trailing by a half a game or up by a half a game, the Atlanta Braves would have to play that makeup game against Colorado. I don't know if that would be a home game or a road game. I think it's a home game, but I'm not 100% sure about that. In which you'd have to think that the Braves would be favored to win that game and pull even with the Phillies. And then game 163 would be at Citizens Bank Park, because in order for the Phillies to have a chance at playing in a one-game playoff, they have to win at least one of these games against Atlanta. And if they do that, they'll finish with a winning record against the Atlanta Braves this year, which means they would host a game 163 if it is necessary. So, I mean, there's a lot of different scenarios that could still shake out, Liz. But this week, how many games realistically do the Phillies have to win in order for them to win this division? Do they have to win all 6? I feel like they have to win. I feel like they have to win 5 out of the 6, but they have to win all 3 in Atlanta.
Yeah, completely. Like, there's no. Oh well, if they do this, they still have no. There's no time left. It's over. Like, you have to, now is the time. Now is the moment. Seize it. Live it. You know, stop being a team that's, you know, still waiting for tomorrow to make up for their mistakes. Do it now.
Yeah. And then that's what they've, and this is what Phillies players have said that they wanted. You know, they want this opportunity to go to the playoffs, to win the division. And they have the pitching matchup to do it. Both teams have lined up their starters for this series. Let's take a look at the starters for this particular series, and we'll start with game 1. Zach Wheeler will go up against Charlie Morton on Tuesday. Zach Wheeler, 14-9 with a 2.79 ERA, a 6.9 Fangraphs wins above replacement. Charlie Morton has been really good this year. More than 200 strikeouts again for Charlie Morton. The guy's 37 years old, man. Amazing.
Wow.
amazing. 13-6 with a 3.53 ERA and a 4.1 FWAR for him. So, you know, that's a great pitching matchup there. In game two, I think you have to give the edge to Atlanta here. Aaron Nola versus Max Fried.
Nola,
9-8 on the season with a 4.64 ERA and a 4.2 FWAR. He actually has more FWAR than Fried, 13-7, but he has a 3.12 ERA and a 3.5 FWAR. But Nola's had a better season. I mean, Fried's had the better season by far. And then in the third game, you've got Kyle Gibson versus Ian Anderson. Gibson 10-8 with a 3.60 ERA, but he has struggled since coming over to the Phillies, a 1.2 FWAR. Anderson 8-5, a 3.60 ERA, 1.9 FWAR. You know, these pitching matchups, I think you can honestly say the game on Tuesday is the one the Phillies have the advantage among the starting pitchers. But in games two and three, I would lean towards Max Fried and Ian Anderson over Aaron Nola and Kyle Gibson, Liz.
Completely. I mean, Gibson hasn't been, he hasn't been all that impressive, has he? Have I missed something?
No.
Ian Kennedy has been a flaming disaster for, for huge portions of what he's been here. And the Phillies just cannot get any of that right. It's a curse of terrible, terrible midseason additions.
You really would think that. I mean, and when you contrast that to all the midseason additions the Braves have made, they've all worked out. They saved their season. You know, they get Adam Duvall and Jorge Soler. They have been huge additions for Atlanta down the stretch here. And you just know Adam Duvall is going to hit like some kind of killer 3-run home run in this series, right? I mean,
completely. And it'll be like the iconic moment of the end of the season for the Braves. And it'll just drive us batty. It'll drive us insane because our teams are just incapable of winning against their biggest rivals on a consistent basis for some reason, as we watch the Eagles get completely annihilated by the Cowboys. I hate them so much.
No, everybody hates the Cowboys. Even Cowboys fans hate the Cowboys. I'm sorry. I know they say they like them, but, you know, how could you?
They don't.
So this matchup between the Phillies and Braves this year, these teams really have traveled a similar path. The Phillies have not been more than 7 games over 500 all year, but they've also never been less than 4 games under 500 at any point this season, which is you talk about a team that just cannot get away from 500. The Braves have been in first place, and the Phillies have been in second place every day since August 14th, Liz. Since the middle of last month, it's been the Braves in first and the Phillies in second. On August 14th, the two teams were tied. The Phillies had a lead before then, if you'll remember correctly. In mid-August, when they went on that 8-game winning streak, they were in first place in the National League East by a couple of games. But the Phillies were 4.5 behind the Braves on September 14th, but have gained a little bit of ground since then. They've actually won 9 out of their last 12 since September 14th, the Phillies have. So far this season, the Phillies are 9-7 against the Braves. The Phillies swept the Braves in the season opening 3-game series back in early April. These teams have not played each other since July 22nd through the 25th, Liz, when these two teams split a 4-game series in Philadelphia. The Braves are 4-2 against the Phillies at Truist Park, but 3-7 in Philly. So the Braves have had the Phillies' number here in Atlanta. So some of the numbers to break this thing down as we're getting ready for this this big series. And one of the other things I wanted to mention, Bob Vetrone Jr. had a couple of interesting nuggets, and he was taking a look at how often have the Phillies managed to come back, to have a few games there, you're a few games back at the start of the final week of the season and track down the team in front of you. The Phillies, as everybody probably knows, have won 13 division titles. Only twice have they won the division when trailing entering the final week of the season. 1980, when they were a half a game behind the Expos, and 2007, when they were 2.5 games behind the Mets. And, you know, forget, the Phillies in 2007 were in the exact same position they are right now. Only in that final week, the Phillies and Mets did not play each other. Like, the Phillies were totally reliant on the Mets tanking, which was kind of fun. And the Phillies went 4-2 in that final week, but managed to overcome the Mets because the Mets went like 1-7 in the last week of the season.
It wasn't really the Phillies did win.
Yes.
But it wasn't necessarily a story about the Phillies winning. It was a story about the Mets blowing it.
Right. Exactly. And that was as much the narrative as anything else. So they also, how many times have they entered the final week of the season within five games of the lead and fallen short. Now, you're back five going into the final week of the season. Your odds of coming back from that are slim to none.
Mm-hmm.
So I just, that's a number that Bob kind of had picked out there. And, you know, it's not impossible. But in 1916, the year after they went to the World Series, they were half a game back and finished 2.5 games back. In 1964, of course, remember the ghosts of 64, the Phillies entered the final week of the season. They blew that lead, but they were still just one game back entering the final week, and they finished one game back. In 1974, they were five games back and finished eight games back. 2001, very much like this season, they were two games behind the Braves entering the final week and had a three-game series in Atlanta with a chance to overtake the Braves, and they weren't able to do it. Mm. And they ended up finishing two games back. And then in 2005, they started the final week of the season five back, finished two back, made up three games, but you know they were out of it by that point. And then last year, entering the final week of the season, they were four games back and then finished seven games back. So it's hard. It's hard when you're trailing at this point. It's hard to come back and overtake a team that's got multiple game lead on you. 2.5 games is doable, but if you look at the odds, Baseball Prospectus has the Phillies playoff odds at 15.3%. Fangraphs has it at 13%. Baseball Reference at 10%. So, you know, Liz, it is a tall task, and the odds are far greater that they will not be able to get it done. But, you know, I think this is a fun. I'm just hoping, Liz, to get a fun week of baseball. You know what I mean? Like, just win these three games in Atlanta, or if you win two out of three, just let's have some fun here in this last week of the season. The last thing you want to see is for this team to totally tank it.
Our expectations are so low.
They are.
All we want, like, it's not even win, do it. Like, it's just, don't embarrass yourselves. Let's just make it fun. Like, don't lose a lot. Or if you do lose, don't lose badly. I don't want any laughers against the Phillies this week. I don't want to see them.
I'm very curious which Aaron Nola we're going to get on Wednesday. Because, you know, pretty much every start he's made here over these last few weeks, they've been must-win starts, and he's gotten blitzed in a couple. You know, the two big comebacks that they had these last couple of weeks, down 7-0 and down 6-0, those games were started by Aaron Nola. He's not done the job.
Good Lord. And
they desperately need him to come up big in this game on Wednesday against Max Fried. I mean, I said a minute ago, I think the Braves have the edge, but Aaron Nola, if he pitches like he can shut that team down. It's just, he's got to get his command together. He's got to get his location together and figure the gosh darn thing out, because it's just, they need him this week. They have to have a big start from Aaron Nola on Wednesday. That might be the most important start of the week, Aaron Nola's start on Wednesday.
Completely. Because we have no idea what's going to happen. Like, you can confidently put some games in the win-or-loss column. You know, everything will change when it's actually played. But for now, you know, you could safely put this game or that game in the win-or-loss column. But that one is a total wild card. Mm-hmm. My assumption is they're going to lose. But Aaron Nola has the power to turn it on. Yeah. Why he doesn't use that all the time is beyond me. But he's got it.
Yeah, he does. He does. And so it's just a matter of can he bring it out when this team really needs him? And you know, get some of that winner energy that you'd like to see from a guy who's supposed to be one of your horses there. The guy who's still having a big season is Bryce Harper, obviously. Still, I think, the leading NL MVP candidate, although Juan Soto has been charging like crazy over these last couple of weeks. But But he really has been. I mean, he has just been unbelievable. I was looking at his on-base percentage. For the season, it's like 470-something. Like, he's getting on base almost half the time during the course of the entire season. There's Trout, there's a few other people, but I think, for me, Juan Soto is the best pure hitter in baseball right now.
I think so. He really did experience a tough early season. It was sort of like his first ever slump.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't really know how to deal with it, I don't think. And yeah, he certainly figured it out, because he's back to being, yep, you know, at no, like, for a couple of precious, you know, weeks or, you know, months, we were able to think, you know, maybe he isn't as good as every, you know, as we thought, as we saw, as we watched. Maybe he wasn't as good. But that's not true. That's not true at all.
No, he's amazing. He's amazing. But I still think I still think Harper's the leading MVP candidate, but I understand folks who don't think he is. I think Juan Soto has passed him in wins above replacement now in both Fangraphs and Baseball Reference. So there is something to be said for that. Harper does lead the majors in OPS at 1,055. He's got a 22-game on-base streak with his team desperately needing him to carry the freight each and every night. He's doing it now with his glove, and he's doing it with his arm, and he's doing it on the bases as well. And during his 22 game on base streak, has hit .377 with a 1,373 OPS, 8 homers, 19 RBIs down that stretch.
Woo.
So it's pretty big here. And so I think you need Bryce Harper. You need JT Realmuto. Realmuto got a couple of big hits in the Pirates series, but came up small in a big way in the game on Sunday after they pitched around Harper to get to him. He failed to come through with two runners on and two outs in a couple of plate appearances.
Utterly frustrating.
That was the game right there when Realmuto couldn't drive those guys in. So you've got Harper, Realmuto, and the starting pitchers. Those guys obviously all need to have good weeks this week for the Phillies to pull this off. But give me a couple of Phillies that also you think really need to have that are really going to be important to have a big week this week.
Let's see. I think Ranger Suarez, he's pitching this week, right?
Yeah, he'll pitch the game on, I guess it's Friday against Miami. Yeah.
Yeah, like he needs to, if he could continue doing well, like, and it feels like even it, I don't mean like it feels like it's a lot to ask from him, but historically it feels like it's a lot to ask consistency from a pitcher who is doing well. But him doing well would be an extraordinary boost, you know, and, you know, really encouraging for the postseason the Phillies very much want to make.
Yep. No, for sure, and I think that's a good one. For me, I'm looking at – I think the offense has to carry the day here. When the offense is hitting, this team wins.
Completely.
You know, they it's all on the offense. This is on the offense. This week is on the offense. They need the pitching to come through, obviously. Momentum is only as good as your next day's starter, and they've got the starters lined up the way they want to. But this team has to hit. It was encouraging to see Andrew McCutchen get a couple of big hits. Didi Gregorius hit a couple of big home runs. I think that's one of the reasons why you still have him in the lineup, as bad as he's been. You know, if he does figure it out, if he does get hot, he's certainly a more electric player than Ronald Torres. And I would rather lose with Didi Gregorius hitting seven than Ronald Torres hitting seven at this point. I want to go out giving myself the best opportunity to put runs on the board, and I think that's Didi, even with his struggles. So, but I think Didi Gregorius has to have a good week this week. And I think the other guy that has to have a good week this week is Ian Kennedy.
Yeah.
I think the closer has to, you know, if they get him a lead, they cannot be blowing leads. You know, they got to wrap things up, you know, and some of his saves, he's been good lately, but they're all kind of white knuckle, and I don't care about that, but you know,
you do care about that because
I
it
do
makes,
care about that.
It's not an enjoyable experience in that way because as soon as there's a white knuckle experience, the assumption is, oh crap, they've already lost. They've already lost the game just by having it be white knuckle. So, you know, it would be great if it could not be that, if we could enjoy, you know, if it wasn't always right on the edge of the knife. A little
even
a tiny little bit further away from the knife's edge.
Right,
just a little bit
away from the knife's edge, the razor's edge, exactly. So how many games, Liz, do you think the Phillies will win this week?
I think they'll end up with 4 of 6.
I'm going 4-2, yeah.
Oh, sorry, not 4 and 6. 4 out of 6.
I know what you meant.
Thank you.
I know what you meant. So how does it, you think they win 2 out of 3 in each series?
Yeah, I think that's what happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, not exciting.
I think that the Phillies go into Atlanta. I feel better about them winning 2 out of 3 in Atlanta
Oh, yeah.
than I do about them winning 2 out of 3 in Miami. because I think this team will be up for the Atlanta series. But I think one of those Atlanta losses, I think there will be a loss in Atlanta. I think it's going to be, and it'll be a killer loss. You know, like it'll just be one of those losses where you're just like, oh, we had it. Or like they blow a lead, or, you know, it's just like it's one that got away. It just, you know, that's kind of how things have gone with this team over the last couple of years. But I think you're right. I think they need to win. They need to win five at least.
Yeah.
And they still need some help if they do that. You know, there's still no guarantee that you know, they're able to win this thing. But I think they have to win five. I think I agree with you. I think they will win four. And I think you're right. I think they'll win two out of three against the Braves. And I think they'll win two out of three against Miami, which, you know, you'd like for them to be able to pull that off. But, you know, it's just you can only do so much. So,
yeah.
We'll see what happens. All right, we're going to step away. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to take a look at some of the other races that are coming down to the wire here as we get finished with the regular season. That's coming up next here on Hittin' Season. And we're back on Hittin' Season. So the Phillies are not the only team coming down the stretch here that are in the middle of a playoff hunt. You've got a couple of division race, or the division race and a wild card race to keep an eye on. And we'll turn our attention first out to the National League West, where San Francisco still leads Los Angeles by two games in that division. San Francisco has 102 wins on the season. LA has 100. So winning this division is going to be important, because whoever loses this division race is going to have to play a one-game playoff against the St. Louis Cardinals, who have won 16 in a row at last look. So that is obviously not something either of these teams want, Liz, right?
No. No. The Cardinals have their magic going. And it's even worse because the Giants have their magic going, too. It's like mm-hmm. the worst of both worlds for Phillies fans. We're just seeing the ends of our last two playoff, you know, chances a decade ago just like square off because they're so good. Blech.
Yeah, the Cardinals, really what they've done, it's kind of funny when you look at the Cardinals, they're still like six or seven games behind the Brewers, or maybe even more than that, and
that's
they've won
nuts.
16 in a row. That tells you how good the Brewers were this year.
Yeah, they were. I bet they're thanking their lucky stars for that giant cushion they got.
Yeah, I mean, because the Brewers have continued to play pretty well. But looking at San Francisco and L.A., both teams are at home. The Dodgers will play the Padres and those Brewers, and the Giants will play the Diamondbacks and the Padres. So we talked about this a couple weeks ago, Liz. It looked like at the time the Giants had an easier schedule than the Dodgers, and that may have played itself out as the Giants still hold that two-game lead. But the Brewers don't really have anything left to play for here. So you've got both teams playing other teams that don't really have a whole lot to play for other than to be a spoiler. So the Dodgers playing the Padres and the Brewers, the Giants playing the D-backs and the Padres. I still like the Giants, obviously, to finish this thing off. A two-game lead with like six to play is still a very substantial margin. And the fact that neither of these teams are playing anybody who's any good or has anything to play for seems to me Gabe Kapler is going to win this division.
Oh, completely.
Yeah.
Great. I'm
Isn't
so happy.
Isn't that the best news you've ever heard?
Really? Yeah. Oh, God, I'm so excited for the playoffs. Just, can't you hear it in my voice? I really can't wait. Why?
It's tremendous Why? Content. Yeah, tremendous content we've got coming
Hashtag
here.
Hashtag content. Ugh.
Yeah. So do you agree Giants are probably going to take this thing, or do you think the Dodgers can come back?
I think it's down to it, and the Giants have two teams that are just not good.
Yeah.
One of them at least can be good, but it's kind of flailing, and the other is just straight up bad. And, you know, the Giants aren't a team that has had trouble beating bad teams this year. So
yes,
they shouldn't
yes,
have a problem
true.
Handling them.
Right.
I mean, I feel bad for the Dodgers. They just,
oh yeah,
you know, the Giants got that lead and just would not give it up.
No, they really, it's amazing. They just outlasted them. You know, we use that expression a lot, but that is truly what's happened here. The Giants have just outlasted the Dodgers this whole season.
Yeah.
And I don't know how they've done it. You know,
no, I don't.
I don't.
Again,
I don't know how they've
magic.
Done it.
Magic. It's magic.
Yep. It's magic. So in the AL wild card, this is a bonkers race.
Yes,
where you
it
could
is.
Have a you could have a three-way tie easily. You could actually have a five-way tie if things
yeah.
work out a certain way, which is just nuts. But in the AL wildcard, you've got the Yankees who hold the top spot. They are one game better than the Red Sox who hold the second spot. So if the season ended today, it would be the New York Yankees hosting the Boston Red Sox at Yankee Stadium for a one-game wildcard playoff. The Toronto Blue Jays are one game on the outside looking in, with Seattle two games back and Oakland three games back. Looking at the Fangraphs projections for the AL wildcard standings, the Zips projections, they did all their computer generated stuff and played out all the different scenarios and, you know, who they're playing and all that kind of stuff. Right now they have Boston as an 80% chance to make the playoffs, New York 74% chance, Toronto 41% chance, and then Seattle and Oakland are down at like 3%, and Oakland like 0.6%. So this really does seem to be a three team race between Boston, New York, and Toronto. Although, you know, again, Seattle is two games back. It's not crazy to think that Seattle could do this. 3.3% seems low to me for a team that's two games back. I know they have some teams to leapfrog here, but this is going to be a fascinating final week in the wild card. Who do you like to come out of the American League and win those two wild card spots, Liz?
I really wish it was the Blue Jays. They are fun as hell. They are really fun, exciting. I just knocked something off of my desk. Sorry for the noise. They're, you know, an exciting, spirited team that's exciting to watch, which is why the Yankees will almost certainly make it into the playoffs. Yeah. I mean, that's what the universe wants. That's what everybody, that's what all the, you know, everybody in baseball wants, because Yankees baseball, the Yankees Red Sox are the one game playoff, right?
Yeah, that's what'll draw the TV ratings, right?
Oh, yeah.
It'll be Yankees Red Sox at famed Yankee Stadium or famed Fenway Park. That's what's going to drive the numbers. Baseball wants that. You know, Rob Manfred wants that desperately.
Praying. He's at this moment filling and, you know, having one of his little associates tiptoe into the Blue Jays clubhouse and sprinkling itching powder in everybody's uniform like it's an old-fashioned prank.
So I think it is probably going to end up being Yankees and Red Sox, although, you know, I'm with you. I would love to see Toronto get in. And you know what? I've always been a Mariners guy. That's such a hard luck franchise. You know, even if they get in, they're not winning the World Series, so maybe it doesn't really matter. But, you know, I kind of enjoy the Seattle Mariners just as an intellectual exercise. I couldn't.
That's how most of their fans have to enjoy it these days, too.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't know if I could name you five players on the Mariners right now.
If you put a gun to my head. Could not.
As someone who follows baseball pretty closely, I'm not sure that I could give you five players who play for the Mariners right now. They've just been quiet all year long, haven't made a peep, and yet they're two games out of the wild card. They have a legitimate shot, you know, over these last six games or so. So that American League wild card race is definitely one to watch, and you got the NL West and the NL East. Of course, the National League wild card has been sewn up with the Cardinals again going on that kill crazy rampage, and either the Giants or the Dodgers taking that other wild card spot. So, Liz, we are down to the final week of Phillies baseball. It has been a long and winding and wild, frustrating, exhausting, and sometimes exuberant ride. This team has provided a lot of really fun games for us to look back on and some good moments to think about. But I can't say that they've offset some of the, you know, the disappointing series that they've played and some of the opportunities. And that's what it really feels like. A lot of opportunities they've let slip away this year. They have a chance to make up for it this week, but, you know, the odds say they have a somewhere between a 10 and a 20% chance of making the postseason. Is that about where you are with the Phillies getting into the postseason here in the final week? What odds do you give them?
That feels about right to me. I can't justify making it any higher or lower, because they're such a conundrum of a team. There's just an opposite, just an exercise in opposites.
Yeah,
you know, they're mediocre, but they are not.
Right.
Like they're you know, they're mediocre, but they're, you know, they're frustrating and infuriating, but they're also really good at times. They're a really unpredictable team, and they made the year interesting. Yeah. I can't justify sending them to the playoffs based on that. In fact, that's almost a reason they shouldn't. So.
Right. And if you honestly look at the rosters and you look at the run differentials, the Braves are the better team. And, you know, that's just kind of the reality of the situation right now as we're looking at this final week. But the Phillies and Braves will play a 3-game series this week in Atlanta. And if the Phillies win all 3 games, even if they win 2 out of 3, they will enter the final weekend of the season with a shot. And so at the beginning of the season, I think, you know, there are a lot of folks who thought that this would probably be an 82 to 85 win team. And that's where the Phillies have ended up here at the end of the 2021 season. And so they've given themselves a chance, despite everything, despite all the warts, despite all of the nonsense we've encountered this year. The Phillies have a shot at breaking this 9-year streak without the playoffs. And I agree with you, Liz. I think it's probably like a 15% chance, 17% chance that they end up pulling this off. But teams have come back from further down than this in order to pull off a miracle postseason berth, and that's what it would take. So we'll see what happens here over these next 3 games as the Phillies get started with their season, with their series in Atlanta against the Braves to start the final week of the 2021 season. So, folks, that's going to do it for this edition of Hittin' Season. My thanks to Liz for coming on the podcast once again and breaking this all down. And hey, folks, don't forget to check out the Hittin' Season Patreon with all of the bonus stuff we have going on over there. Go to patreon.com/hittin'season. And tell your friends about the Good Fight podcast feed. Leave a rating and a review for us as we get ready for this final week of the season. Some drama unfolding for this team full of drama kings. We're getting ready, hopefully, to watch some fun baseball here. Just give us 1 week of fun baseball to finish up the season. That's all we're really hoping for. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We'll talk to you next time here on Hittin' Season.